The house was still. For a few precious moments, my world is quiet. My 2-year-old daughter, Sarah, is asleep on my lap. My husband, Shane, and 10-year-old son, Noah, have long since drifted into dreamland. You would think that I, too, would be able to take advantage of the tranquility and get some much-needed sleep. It's a busy summer at my house. Noah is playing baseball, which means practice or a game on most any given evening. Sarah is an active, inquisitive, imaginative, and energetic toddler. We have family visiting from California. Youth programs like Wages, Work and Gain Experience in the Summer, and several others are in full swing at the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, where I am employed as a vocational rehabilitation counselor. The Nebraska affiliate has just completed its annual Walk for Independence and raised a good amount of cash. And week one of our Bell Academy is in the books. And by the way, we had a visit from Oscar and Klaus. We did. I have a convention speech to write. What could I possibly say that would make a difference, that would challenge and inspire? My mind is working overtime. Words from the book I had just read Sarah before she fell asleep running through my head. Someday you'll know. Someday you'll know. In The Learning Tree by Steve Cosgrove, Patty is a little fuzzy, energetic caterpillar who is curious to know what it would feel like when she becomes a beautiful butterfly as she spins her cocoon on the branches of the dream tree. She asks her mom. She asks a fluttering butterfly. But it's all to no avail. No one can truly explain the mystery that awaits. Dream Tree is a story of all ages that addresses those things in life that are so hard to explain. Though it's sometimes hard to wait, growing up will come soon enough. I found myself contemplating what my children's grown-up future would be. Their little personalities already showing through, what would they become? What would their future hold? What would the future hold for our students from the Bell Academy or the Wages program? It wasn't so long ago I had the very same thoughts about my own life. I'm blind because of retinopathy of prematurity. I weighed just a little under 2 pounds at birth. And I've been told that I could easily fit in the palm of my dad's hand. Placed in an incubator, I received too much oxygen, damaging the optic nerves in my eyes and causing my blindness. So when I was 5, my family moved from our farm in southeast Nebraska to Nebraska City, which is where the School for the Blind, then known as the Nebraska School for the Visually Handicapped, was located. My parents made that difficult decision to relocate to a new community far away from family, friends, and all that they knew, so that I could continue to live at home during my school years, rather than in a dormitory setting. And it was there that I received a solid education and had a normal family life, complete with 2 pesky little brothers, family campouts, dress up, lots of backyard sports, picnics, and all those good things that families do. My parents expected me to do chores and hold up my end of the bargain. Cleaning the bathroom was not my most favorite. But I believe these things were critical to my success during my formative years. And I've always been grateful that my parents made the decision that they did. While a student at NSVH, I received training in many blindness skills, but most critical of them was Braille. In the eighth grade, it was time for a transition. I started taking classes at the public school in Nebraska City. And that was an adjustment academically and socially. I went from all material, including textbooks, being presented to me in Braille, to having to learn how to use books on cassette. Ooh. I loved music, and so I participated in lots of things. I tried out for swing choir. It took some hard work and some determination, but I made it. And I can admit this now to thousands of my closest friends and those listening on the live stream, so I hope my teacher's not listening. The mischievous streak in me got the best of me, and I have to admit that there were a few times that purposely I danced a little too close to the edge of the stage just because I could. But most of the time, I was right on step with my sighted peers, because I knew that I was being watched, and I knew that what I did would impact those that were going to come after me. So I was very active in lots of extracurricular activities, but I found it hard to make real friends, and I sat through lots of lonely lunches. And this is when those life nagging questions began to start to formulate. What would it be like to be a blind woman? I knew one. She was the wife of the superintendent of the school for the blind. She was nice enough, I guess. She was in the church choir with me, and she and her husband had three kids, and I presumed that she, you know, made the meals and kept house and some of those things. I don't know. Didn't really talk to her too much. She was kind of scary a little bit. But, you know, she couldn't walk the one block between their home and the school campus alone. She went sighted guide every day. She never used a cane, and when she walked around the school grounds, it was with a slow and shuffling gait. I knew I did not want that for my future. My own mobility lessons were once a week for 1 hour. I was expected to use and trust my cane during that time, but at no other times was I encouraged to use it. Put it in the corner, you can grab a wing, it's okay. So my mobility teacher really thought it was a lot for, you know, recognition and all those kind of things. Now when I started to go to the public school, I did take my cane, and I did use it, but I was wondering, how would I really get around as an adult? What was I going to do? I knew what I had already seen was not what I wanted for my future. But I kept these questions at bay by keeping very busy. Through the Nebraska Human Resources Department at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, I participated in a big sister kind of program where I had the good fortune to be paired with an elementary school girl who I continued to mentor even after that program's conclusion. Growing up, I had very few positive blind role models and limited contact with competent and confident peers. So it was during this time that I first began participating in programs sponsored by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And it was there where I gained many valuable skills and even met my future husband at one of those summer programs. So you guys in youth summer programs, look out. You may be getting more than you bargained for. For several summers, I worked as a volunteer counselor at a program we had called Summer Kids Independence Program, or SKIP. It was for little kids, 5 to 12. And so even then, I wanted to show to them and share with them the lessons that I had learned so far throughout my journey, what plans had worked and what didn't. I believed it then and absolutely believe it more critical today. That mentoring is very important in improving one's attitude toward blindness and a great way to learn how to handle being different in our society. Whether at home or at school, participating in academics or athletics, I was successfully working and competing with my sighted peers. But despite academic and extracurricular success, no one would hire me for a summer or after-school job. I did have a teacher that hired me for babysitting a few times, but that was the extent of my fabulous work experience. As a senior in high school, these nagging life questions from a few years ago came back in earnest. And like Patty, the little caterpillar, I asked my mom, I asked my teacher. Nobody knew. Nobody knew the answer. Oh, someday you'll figure it out. Someday you'll know. Could I really be a successful, independent, blind adult? Would I ever marry, have a family? What about a job? I mean, I couldn't even get one now. Well, following graduation, I began conquering those fears and seeking out answers to those nagging questions. I attended the Nebraska Center for the Blind, and there I was first introduced to the underpinning philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind, and equally important, to kind and inspirational Federationists like my friend Barbara Lose right up here. Armed with newfound confidence and skills, I enrolled at Peru State College, eventually graduating in a few years with a Bachelor of Science in Psychology, Sociology, and Criminal Justice. In 1993, the NFB of Nebraska established a scholarship program, and I was honored to be its first winner. With this award, I faced a turning point in the evolution of my personal philosophy and in my affiliation with the National Federation of the Blind. Growing up, like many of you, I had been warned that the NFB was an organization of radical, evil militants I should avoid like the plague. Thanks to the scholarship program, I attended my first state convention in the fall of 1993. And like many of you, I was gonna go on, take the money and run. But you see how well that worked out. I discovered the warmth of the members of the NFB, and I saw the important work that they were doing, and I haven't looked back since. Yay! I saw that it was possible. I could live the life I wanted. It was there I saw a woman, and her name was Chris Boone. She was confident, she was smart, she was a law student, and most importantly, she was a wife and a mom. These were things I wanted for myself, and I thought, well, if Chris can do it, surely I can do it too. So, as the next year rolled around, in October of 1994, a handful of other concerned blind Nebraska students, along with myself, were granted the charter for the Nebraska Association of Blind Students, within the Nebraska State Affiliate. I was elected president of the student division, an office which I held for the next couple of years. Since those early days in the Federation, I have held a number of chapter and affiliate positions in Nebraska, and in 2003, I was elected as its affiliate president. In the summer of 2006, I was honored and humbled to be elected by the convention assembled to serve on the board of directors of the National Federation of the Blind. Now, 2006 was quite a monumental year in several ways. Just a couple of months before the convention, on Tuesday, May 2nd, at 10:26 p.m., a 7-pound, 10-ounce, 21-inch-long baby boy named Noah made his grand entrance into the world. Shane and I were proud and excited. Naturally, we had the normal questions first-time parents would have. But thanks to our family at the National Federation of the Blind and to supportive friends that we found there and the great examples set by all of those blind parents that have come before us, we never doubted our abilities as blind parents. Even though some around us did. Soon after Noah's birth, we didn't even have his name yet. And, you know, still very emotional with all the birth hormones and all that stuff. We got a visitor, only this one wasn't family or friend. He was a social worker from the hospital. And he came in, notepad in hand, pen poised, ready to write down all the things that were wrong. A list of questions a mile long. Were we prepared at home? Had we really thought this through? How would we feed our baby? How would you change his diaper? How do you know when you need to change his diaper? Well, let me see. How are you gonna bathe him? What if he falls in the water? How would we know if he was awake or hungry? Duh. Did we have anyone to move in with us permanently? Now, I don't know about you, no matter how much you love your parents or your in-laws, really. I mean, God bless them, but after you move out, you kind of don't want them living with you anymore. We had heard of these things happening to other blind parents. But that was years in the past, right? This couldn't be happening to us today, could it? I wanted to cry. Shane, as he usually is, was strong, practical, and calm. We asked if all new parents received a visit with questions such as these. And he had to reluctantly admit that they did not. Only if it was thought a situation warranted special extra attention or posed a certain risk or potential for problems did they receive such a visit as this. So we took a collective deep breath and began to educate this guy about the reality, about the truth of blindness, standing on the shoulders of those successful, competent blind parents that went before us, like Mark and Patricia Maurer, like Ray and Diane McGeorge, like Nadine and Steve Jacobson, and several others, Joanne Wilson, the list could go on and on. We began to answer his questions with love, hope, and determination. We explained how we would care for our son. Finally, what felt like an eternity, he was satisfied. We were not going to harm him. He would remain alive, and he would be cared for with love. And he left us alone. Later that same year, I was assigned one of my first national representative duties as a rep for the great state of Ohio. So I was getting to travel to Ohio. I could bring my family with me. That was awesome. I was so excited to go to spread the word of the great work that our national organization was doing and to learn from our affiliate in Ohio and to watch the always poised, confident, smart, well-dressed, brilliant Barbara Pierce in action up close. Our trip there was uneventful. The convention was positive and uplifting and a lot of fun. Barbara was kind and gracious to this newbie to the national board. And anyway, we had a wonderful time with our Federation family there. Confident and energized from that weekend, we boarded the plane back to Nebraska. As we walked down the jet bridge and stepped onto the plane, a frantically worried flight attendant greeted us. He physically steered us to our seats immediately and tried multiple times to take the baby carrier out of Shane's hands with Noah inside. Excuse me is right. After all, sir, you might drop your son. How could you possibly get the buckle secured properly around the carrier? His tone was condescending, and we were treated like toddlers. Did he stop to think about how we got ourselves, our bags, and our baby to the airport, on the plane, ourselves? We settled Noah's seat nearest the window, farthest away from grabbing stranger hands. Shortly after takeoff, Noah was hungry, so I took him out of his seat and grabbed my cover and I prepared to nurse him. Right on cue came our friendly flight attendant, full of worry and warning that, "You better cover up. Are you okay to do this? Did I know what I was doing? We don't like crying babies on this plane. How do you think that we kept our son alive until this very moment?" I remained polite, but on the outside, because I knew I needed to try to educate this guy, but on the inside, I was an emotional mess and angry. This was not fair. So then, the time came to take our drink orders. And when he brought ours, they were served in cups with lids and straws. And he made sure to open our little package of pretzels for us as well. Yeah. We couldn't get off that plane fast enough. Once on the ground, we gathered our things and Noah, and we waited our turn to deplane. We thought we were free and clear. We could escape without another encounter. But it was not meant to be. Mr. Flight Attendant once again tried to convince us to sit and wait until everyone else was off the plane and he could find someone to help us, carry our baby for us to keep him safe. And we said, no, thank you, and pushed our way off the plane and out of there as fast as we could go. Now, I know that we are not alone in these types of experiences and that others have had to deal with far harsher circumstances. In July of 2010, at the National Convention in Dallas, we were all shocked, appalled, frightened, and horrified to learn of how baby Michaela was taken away from her blind parents for 57 long days, simply because her parents were blind. I often think of how blessed we were to have narrowly escaped such a similar fate. On Valentine's Day in 2014, Sarah Faith arrived. This time, we would not be surprised. We were prepared for a visit from a well-intentioned social worker. We had materials in my bag, already packed into hand to him, should the event arise. Of course, they came from our friends at the National Federation of the Blind. And well, so we were waiting, but you know what? The visit never came. Are there challenges and frustrations with being a blind parent? Sure there are. Like when the room parent's captain, that I've known for several years now, questions my ability to put together a simple Halloween treat bag for the party. Like when exiting a restaurant or crossing a street or at a checkout counter, someone says, "What a big helper you must be to your parents." And note to his credit, Noah says, "I guess." if they, you know, I mean, he's 10, you know. Or when one of the moms recently in fourth grade, Noah had the opportunity to receive the training, and he can now be an altar boy at our church, and he is really excited and proud about that. Loves to serve. He volunteers. He'll go do whatever needs to be done. But one of the moms said one day they were one man short, but they were not going to ask Noah because, well, surely he needed to sit with his parents to help us lest we go astray in the communion line. Or how about putting the KNFB reader through its paces and working with the teacher and school to read stacks of homework and printed material? Or like when Sarah was born, when a well-meaning colleague who I serve with on the home and school board says to me, "Well, do you have a nanny or housekeeper live with you? Like, just to help take care of things? Because, I mean, it must be extra difficult to manage a home and a family without sight." Sure, there are lots of annoyances and challenges, lots of them. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. Incidents such as these only cause me to be more invigorated, to work harder, shoulder to shoulder, and stride for stride with like-minded Federationists who hold my same belief that we can and we will live the lives that we want. Blindness is not the characteristic that defines us. Our biggest disability is those limitations and doubts that are placed upon us by others in society. Let's continue to march together with our hammers of determination poised to drive home that nail of success. In my acceptance remarks when joining the National Federation of the Blind Board of Directors, I said that the Federation is like home to me. It is like a family. I feel at home and empowered here, sheltered by the big and mighty branches of an oak tree, a nut that stood its ground. The roots of that tree goes deep into the recesses of time and history. As written in C. Michael Melton's book, Lewis Braille, A Touch of Genius, we learn of a request for him to tutor a blind prince in the Austrian royal family. Lewis Braille declined. It says in the book that, according to his family, he answered, "I am not servant of only one blind person. I am the servant of all blind people." Had he said this against a backdrop of arrogance, we wouldn't be likely to see it in a favorable light. However, we know that he did serve blind individuals every day, including both friends and students, as he created the great code known as Braille that we use today. We know that his decision probably shortened his life, since the air would have been much purer in Austria than at the school in France, where he chose to stay. In other words, he ultimately compromised his health and sacrificed his life to improve the lives of fellow blind people. He understood, as we do in the Federation, that individual accomplishments matter little if they don't benefit others. As many of you know, the National Federation of the Blind has a new Blind Parents Initiative. Yeah. This initiative includes a website. You should go visit it, www.blindparents.org. On this website, we need help from you. We want to include videos from parents as well as your explanations of how, as a blind parent, you accomplish things. How do you do different tasks? How do you change diapers? How do you transport babies in strollers or carriers? How do you keep track of your crazy toddler like ours when they want to run and explore everywhere? How do you dispense medicine in the proper amounts? How do you help older children with homework? How about learning letters and colors and everything else that we do as parents that's too numerous to mention here? We need your stories. If you are a blind parent, a grandparent, adoptive, foster parent, whatever. We need your stories. I hope you will take some time to offer a video, a photo, and a narrative to this project. Because together, us sharing our stories, it will help to empower others and inspire those to come after us, that they can too become parents if they so choose, and live the life that they want. Sarah sighs softly in her sleep as I gently rock her. I am contented and at peace. My ordinary life of juggling family, federation, and work commitments, struggling to keep all those balls in the air, is my life. The life I chose, the life I created. My life as a blind woman is rich and full. It is ordinary and not extraordinary, and therein lies its beauty. Finally, she fell into a long sleep to dream the dreams of the dream tree. I am forever grateful for the many gifts given to me in my life. I have a wonderful, exceptional, kind, and loving husband, Shane. He's a Federation leader in his own right, and I couldn't do all the things that I do without him. In all aspects of my life, personal, professional, and as Federation leader, I am living the life I want, and I am empowering my clients, my children, and my Federation family to do the same thing. I'm forever grateful for this gift. Melanie Beatty said that gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates vision for tomorrow. M. Jenison said, "It's your place in the world. It's your life. Go on and do all you can and make it the life you want to live." The National Federation of the Blind is a powerful and life-changing gift. It was for me, and I hope for you too. Now let's go together and build the Federation.